Well, let's get into the word this morning. I'm going to pray first. Father God, we come to you this morning and we give this service to you. This time is your time. We are gathered in your name. We know that you are in our midst, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is at work in this place today, and that Lord, you give me unction to speak forth the mystery of the gospel, Lord, that you give me the words that is going to pierce to the very heart of those that are here and gathered this morning, Lord, so that when they go, they take that with them, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you for the message that you have for us today. I thank you, Lord, that you have something for each and every one of us this morning. And we thank you, Lord. Again, this time belongs to you. It's your will we want. And I thank you that you lead and guide me today during this service. I thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, so recently, Pastor Earl was ministering. He does this a lot where he's ministering on something, and then the Lord will say something to me about it directly. I've shared that before. It always happens that way. And so I mark it down, and then later on, it's like, okay, now that's what I want you to teach on. So then I have to study it out. It's one of those things where he puts that little, drops that in my heart, and then later he's like, okay, now I want you to teach it. And so since you're going to teach it, you got to learn it, and you got to dig in. And so so I did that. So he was ministering a while back on Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. This whole section of scripture, of course, is is Jesus preparing to ascend to heaven. And so he is putting the commission on to the disciples to go forth. And so we're going to delve into this a little bit. And one of the things that he told me about in this section of scripture is that, we're not seeing. We hear about missionaries, they go overseas and they have these miracles, signs, and wonders. You'll hear of services where someone will have, a missionary will come in, or a guest speaker will come in, or even the pastor, and sometimes the service will be really great and you'll have these tremendous miracles, signs, and wonders. But it's not as it's more rare than it is common. Now, it might happen within the walls of the church. We might see that more so. But then when you're at Walmart, you're not seeing these things very often. And you're at work and you're not seeing these things maybe at all. Sometimes we see them in our own lives because we speak over ourselves and we can bring about the manifestation of signs, miracles, and wonders. But we're not seeing it necessarily with others. And so when he talked to me, he said that there's a reason that we're not seeing those signs, miracles, and wonders. And there are primarily two reasons. We're gonna look at both of those today. So he said the first thing is, well, let's just go over to Mark 16, chapter 15 through 20. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. So it might look different than what you've got in your Bible. So Mark 16, verse 15 says, "And then he told them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed.' When the Lord Jesus had finished talking to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs." So, so one of the things that he's told me that is not happening is we're not going and preaching. So the only way for this to be a thing, the only way that God can confirm his word is if we're giving out the word, right? And so as I, was just thinking about that, a lot of times we speak it to ourselves. When we're dealing with a situation, we know to go to the word, we know to speak the word over ourselves, we know to get results in our own lives. But not always are we then doing that for others. There's a whole world out there who are not as mature as you are in your Christian walk. There's a whole world out there who are not even Christians. And we encounter them every single day. And so when we do, are we then giving forth the word? They all have it. How many? Well, there was someone in our car yesterday. Now she's a Christian. And she was spilling out all the things that had happened over the course of her life. She had situation after situation after situation of things. It went on a long time of all the situations that. So I didn't realize that. At lunch, it was going forth too. But at any rate, she's had all these situations. People have situations in their lives. They are constantly dealing with something. Their kids are in the middle of something, or they're in the middle of something, or their job is a situation, or, you know, whatever it is. And what is our answer to them? How often is, well, you just got to trust God. And then we roll on, right? We should have a word for them. And the thing is, of course, we have to be filled up on the word. But there should be something, and you know, the Holy Spirit tells us, and Pastor Earl was just teaching on this, that the Holy Spirit will remind us of the word that's in us. We all have the word in us. And in those situations, if you draw from that place, if you decide, I'm going to use the word today to help someone, so that when you're talking to them and they're sharing, probably some of you are hearing the same things from the same people, especially in a work environment, you know, places, or, you know, sometimes you have a group of friends where you have that one, you know, person that just is really struggling. And so you can endeavor, Lord, give me the words. Pray that Ephesians prayer over yourself. The Ephesians prayer in Ephesians chapter 6, and starting there, and is it verse 18? Starting there in verse 18, where you ask the Lord to give you unction, give you utterance to speak forth the mystery of the gospel. You can pray that over yourself. We do it often for prayer, for teaching and preaching in like this setting, but we can do that. Pastor and I have been going to just fellowship with friends, and as we've been driving, we'll pray that over ourselves, that we will have the boldness to speak forth the mystery of the gospel in front of them, so that if they have anything that they're dealing with, we know God is going to use us to deliver his message. And so that's step one. We've got to be in a position where we are preaching. Now, I'm not talking about getting up on your soapbox and really preaching. I'm talking about just sharing the gospel. We have the gospel within each and every one of us. There was a, and sometimes it can be so insignificant and so doesn't even seem like it's going to make any impact on anyone at all. And I've shared this before, and this isn't about me thing, because I didn't really do it. But we were in St. Louis. I used to work for the bank, and when, you know, we had a corporate office in St. Louis, in Clayton, Missouri, which is in St. Louis. And in that office, or as we would, you know, there were several of us that worked together. We had a team. And often we had walked to lunch together. My boss, who is a Christian, she was a preacher's kid, grew up as a preacher's kid. So she had, and she's very much a wonderful, you know, woman of God. And so I was so thankful that she was my boss. And then I had a coworker who had not been in church for a long time. She grew up in the Methodist church, and I think she really wanted to be in church, you know, but she just wasn't. They were busy, and they had a life that was very social and active. And so anyway, we're walking, the three of us are walking back to the office, and she was actually this one who, Emily, I'll just say her name is Emily, she was preparing to leave our team and go to another team. So this was kind of a, you know, farewell lunch that we had had. And so as we're walking, she had worked in Champaign for part of her job. And when she was in Champaign, she'd gotten a parking ticket. If you've ever been in Champaign, there's a whole bunch of sections of town there that is exclusively for the university. And so she had gone down. We had a branch on the university grounds. The U of I was our customer. And so we had a branch in there. And so she had been to the branch there and was talking to somebody. And she had parked in a spot that was not for her to park in. And so she had gotten a ticket. And so she just kind of forgotten about it. But then as we were, you know, time had gone on. And so then when we were talking about this, it suddenly dawned on her that she had this ticket, parking ticket that she needed to pay. And she said, you know, they haven't said anything to me about it. I think I'm just going to let it go. You think that'd be okay? And you don't always know, but the Lord said to me, the scripture that says, owe no man anything but love. And so I said, well, you know, the word tells us that we should owe no man anything but love. So I think you should take care of it, and then it'll be off your conscience, and it'll be taken care of. And I just think that's what you're supposed to do. And so she was just like, oh, it says that? Yeah. And so we just went back to the office and kind of forgot about it. Well, I never thought any more of it. It was just one little scripture that just popped out, and I didn't wasn't intentionally, you know, trying to be all holier than thou. You know, oh, well, you know, not like that. I just, the Holy Spirit prompted me to say it, and I said it, and that was the end of it. Well, like 3 weeks later, she had moved on to her other position, and she sent, we had instant messenger, like you could pop up and talk to each other within the bank and stuff. And so I got a message from her, and it popped up, said, hey, I wanted to tell you that I paid that parking ticket. And I'm like, oh, yay, you know, what do you do? Yay, or whatever. But she said, no, ever since you said those words to me, I couldn't let it go. And she said, I paid that ticket. I knew I was supposed to pay that ticket. It was $25. Why on earth wouldn't I pay the ticket? But she said, I don't know why I thought I would just not pay that and get by with it. It wasn't that she didn't have the money. It was the fact that she just thought, it's too much of a hassle. I probably have to go to their office or whatever. And she said, and it just ate at me. She said, after you said those words, I suddenly thought of that ticket every morning when I got up and every night when I went to bed. And so she said, I knew I was supposed to take care of it. And she said, I just felt so good after I did it. And she said, who would have thought you'd feel so good after paying a ticket? You don't know what the truth is going to do for others. Something so simple and something that, I mean, that's not, you know, that's not the difference in her going to heaven and hell. But it was what she needed to hear in the time, and God used it to open her up. And they started going to church not too long after that. She started contacting me more too about things, you know, and started talking. But she knew that in me was the gospel and the truth. And so from that point on, you know, I would have messages pop up, or she'd call me one day and she'd be dealing with this or that. And so it was the opening door. And we have got to be cognizant of every single interaction we have, whether we're on the busy street in downtown St. Louis or whether we're in the privacy of our own home having coffee with a friend, whatever it is. And so we've got to be ready to preach the gospel. The other thing is we don't have an expectation. So the first part of this is we need to go and preach, but then there's another part of it where God confirms his word with signs, miracles, and wonders. And so we're going to get into this, but we have to have an expectation for those signs, miracles, and wonders to happen when we preach the gospel. Whatever it is, whoever we're talking to, whenever we proclaim any part of the gospel, he's going to confirm that word. Even with Emily, there wasn't some big miraculous thing that just happened where, you know, a major, I don't know what would be a good thing to be a sign for that scripture, but it was the continual bringing it up that God did after that. He was confirming that that was his word to her in that season. By every time she turned around, she was thinking about that. And that scripture just kept coming up and coming up and coming up in her. It may have been only one of 10 or 15 scriptures that she's ever heard in her entire life. You know, I don't know what her life, her childhood was like. But up until that point, she was not hearing scripture from anyone. And so God used that, and he confirmed it and demonstrated that that was from him. And that's what she said to me. And that's why she kept calling me later, like, you got the word in you, and so I want to hear this. And then God would again confirm his word and confirm his word. So it doesn't always have to be some big miraculous thing that happens right there in the moment. But you have to have an expectation. And we have to set the atmosphere for that. So let's get into it. In verse 15, he tells us to go and to preach. And again, we've already talked about this. The word preach means to herald, to proclaim, or to publish. It doesn't mean that you go around on like carrying a pulpit with you. And I don't mean literally carrying a pulpit, but I mean being so much on a pulpit preachy box. This isn't about that. We can get real judgy when we see people living and doing things that maybe we don't think is the right way to handle a situation or the right thing to do. We're not to do that. But we are to, when they ask us or when there is a need and you can see that and they're open and they're receptive, we should always be in the going position. And I think we get into the, I'm in the stop position until I see a big green light to go. I think that we tend to believe that people don't want to hear the gospel, so we don't share it unless God nudges us to do. And sometimes then, if we're not comfortable and confident enough, we still won't even do it then. And how often, Dave, you found yourself in that position where you've gone home thinking, man, I was supposed to say something to her and I didn't do it. Or I was supposed to say this or that and I just didn't do it. I didn't step out. We have to always be in the position of stepping out. We have to be comfortable in that spot of stepping out all the time. He's already told us the command is to go. He will stop us if for some reason he thinks we need to stop. You will not get a lot of red lights, but you should always know you have the green light. And so we've got to be, especially in this season, because if we're not doing it, then who is? The enemy. The enemy's the one who's going to be trying to convince people of things. He's constantly able to deceive people because there's no truth going forward to these people in their situation. So this doesn't mean, too, that you post the verse of the day from your Bible app and you do. That's not enough. We're talking about being so connected to the Holy Spirit when we're around other people or talking with other people, if we're not in front of them, but through, you know, what text messages or whatever, however our communication is being tuned in to what the Holy Spirit wants us to say in that moment. And just giving yourself, the song talks about, you know, here I am to worship. Or I mean, what'd we sing? Here I am, this song, Rooftops. That's talking about making yourself open to him and, you know, and being able and ready to shout it from the rooftops. And so often we're closed off to that. We don't have any, there's nothing that we are looking for opportunity. We're not looking for opportunities. We're about our own business. I want to get to the store. I want to get what I want. I want to get out of there before, you know, the after work people show up, or we are, you know, we're always in a mode of ourselves, 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 ourselves. And we have got to get out of a mode where we're so fixated on our own agendas, so fixated on our own pathways and our own desires and our own wants that we start to see the world the way that God has presented it to us as our mission field to get people, to change people, help them change their lives. We're not going to change their lives, but through the Holy Spirit, their lives will be changed. But if we are not open to that, if we're closed off and we don't take the time and we don't just say, Lord, use me. Every time I walk out of these doors, or even when people are inside our house, we got an opportunity to minister to someone in our own living room this week. And it was not a source I would have thought of. You know, it wasn't a person I would have thought that we would be ministering to that way. But God is so good. He's not always going to bring them to your doorstep. I mean, that was just, you need to get out there. There are times when you just need to be out there and you need to be among the people and you need to endeavor to spend time with people because, you know, Jesus didn't just go and stay in his own crowd. Look at all the people that he touched, all the people who were outside of his, you know, the Samaritans and the, you know, the ones who had these difficult lives, you know, and they're like, why are you talking to her? Why are you talking to him? You can't talk to him. Oh, yes, I can. That's what I'm here to do. And that's what we're here to do, to talk to those people who are living those lives that are so filled with the lies of the enemy that they continually make the same decisions and the same, you know, do the wrong things all the time that lead them further and further from God, which is the device of the enemy. That's what he wants. But we have got to be doing our part. That's what we're here to be. We have a purpose on earth. And our number one purpose is to win the lost for Jesus and to be spreading the gospel. So, this is so weird. We were watching a show recently. And it was a Christian show, I guess. It was a Christian show. But the thing about it that was true in its continuity, not so much in its doctrine and such. Again, we don't get our doctrine from TV shows. None of you, your doctrine comes from here, 100%. But we were watching the show, and one of the things about the mom, and even the dad too, was that every single time their adult children came to them with a problem, and they always had a problem in this show, everything that come from them was scripture or what the Bible says, or you got to trust in God and have faith in God to see you through it. Not, and we wouldn't have necessarily agreed with everything they said, but everything they said was always something to that degree. We have got to get into a place where everything we say is to people's problems or their, you know, situations is the truth. It's either the truth, the word itself, and I'm not saying you have to know it verbatim, but a paraphrase of the truth, or its foundation is in the truth. You might share an example or a testimony of your own where God showed up and it is a reflection of the Word of God. Everything we say needs to have its root and its basis in that when we are talking with others. That's sharing the gospel. It doesn't have to be a big preachy thing. It just needs to be sharing the gospel. The Word of God has an answer for every single situation. Every single situation that we find ourselves in or other people find themselves in, every bit of it has an answer in the Word of God. God has a response. I can remember times where I was dealing with my ex-husband. We all know that, you know, I've been married before and divorced. And so anyway, you know, times were challenging and difficult with him at times. And it wasn't until I allowed God to work through me and speak through me that I realized that that relationship could have been so much better. And that I could be God's voice with him. And when I did, it changed the relationship that we had then too. God is so good. But every single time that I allowed him to work through me, the times then with my ex-husband were peaceful and good. And it changed and has forever changed my relationship with my ex-husband because I talked to him from a different position. I was telling, when we had the person in our house the other day, I was telling him that one of the things that I had heard recently that I thought was so good, and it was from a woman who wrote a book, and she's a Christian, but she said that within every single person is a fool and a king or a queen, you know, whoever, and that whoever we speak to is what will come out of them. And, you know, have you watched TV shows where the wife just completely berates the husband all the time? She thinks he's an idiot. You know, what's the one show? King of Queens. King of Queens. Well, I couldn't remember it that day either. King of Queens, where the wife is just constantly thinks her husband's just a doofus, a giant doofus. And she talks to him as though he is all the time. And so when she's talking to him like he's a doofus, he responds like a doofus. You know, and so... But what this woman was saying was when we speak to the king in someone, when we speak to the way that God sees that person and we speak into them that way, then that's what we'll see in return. And it takes them to a higher level. When you are speaking to someone the way that Jesus would speak to them, they rise to that occasion. That is what they respond from that position too. And so their responses going forward, their decisions going forward are going to be elevated to that position. And so we have more than, you know, just we got to be more to them, to the body or to the people that are even outside the body. We've got to be who God made us to be for them in every interaction. Every opportunity. We can't, there's scripture that talks about don't miss you're going to miss the opportunity that God has presented before you. He has created you and positioned you at your jobs, in your families, in your lives, around your friends, your social interactions, if you're part of a club or if you have a friend group that goes to coffee, whatever it is, he has positioned you in that group and you are to be his voice in that position. And so if we miss opportunities, and after opportunity, after opportunity, after opportunity, those people are never going to get what God has for them because they're not in them, they're in us. And if we're not speaking him out, they're not getting him. Or they're getting it from a scripture quote on Facebook or from some TV show like we were watching that there wasn't a whole lot of substance to it. But you know, it's not enough. It needs to be the truth coming through us because he lives and he dwells within us. So we have got to go and we've got to preach and we've got to be the voice of God in the earth in every single situation because he's got an answer for every single situation. I was talking about with my ex-husband, there were times where I didn't have a solution to the problem. All we were doing was arguing. And then when I allowed God to work through me, the solution presented itself in seconds. I literally spoke the words out of my mouth that I didn't have a solution for, but he poured it out, and it was so easy. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I, in my own emotion, in my own anger and whatever, I couldn't see that solution. There was just no solution to be found, and this was a helpless situation. But when I allowed God to work through me, the solution poured right out of my mouth as if I had come up with it on my own, and it was all him. Every bit of it, but it created a peace all of a sudden between me and my ex-husband that only God could have done. And again, that is it was a miraculous sign, let me tell you, in that moment. Okay, so let's go on. It talks about in the beginning of that, go and preach or go into all the world in that section in Mark. In Matthew's account, when Jesus says this, he refers to the nations, go into all the nation. And what's interesting is those are actually two different words in the Greek, but the word world in Mark's account is cosmos. I've heard the word cosmos before. In English, it kind of means out in the cosmos, you know, kind of in the universe. Things are floating around or what have you. And so that is not what it means. what that word actually means is an orderly system. So pastors referred to this before, too, about how the world is an orderly system that is ruled over by Satan, right? And he talks about how, you know, you can get caught in that wheel, like a mouse's wheel, where you're just spinning and spinning and nothing's getting done. That's what it's like being caught in the world system. And so as I say that, think about all the people who do not have the Lord in their life, who is helping them in this situation or even through us, and they're caught in that wheel, that mouse in the wheel. How many people do we know in our lives that are in that place? How many of us know someone who is living that life of just spinning, spinning, spinning? They're working so hard. They're doing all the things and this and this and this and this. And they keep making the same kind of decisions and the same kind of things. And they just keep running like that mouse on the wheel with no place to go, but just around and around and around. They're chasing their own tails and getting nowhere. And so when we see that, the only thing that will get them out of that is the Word of God. The only thing that will pull them from that orderly position is us, God through us. And that will get them off the wheel, and suddenly they start going a different direction that takes them places. And that's what it is that God wants and needs from us, to be in the world. So the world is, like I said, it's an orderly system, any part of society. So it can be your work environment, that's an orderly system. It can be your family, that's its own orderly system. It can be, you know, your pickleball team, you know, that's its own system. It can be your coffee club or your book club or, you know, whatever it is that you're a part of, that's an orderly system, right? It's not the church necessarily, it's outside of that church. And so within that orderly system, who is it who is the ruler over that? Satan is. It's the worldly system. That's what the world is. We refer to the world all the time because the world is not the church. The church is the kingdom of God, and then you have the world system. We enter into the world system, and we're to be bringing the gospel as we do. We're to be bringing the truth into that orderly system. So if Satan is the one who's ruling over that worldly system, and we're to come into that area and give the gospel, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, then the devil has free reign in that system. And that's the reason we often have issues in those systems, because it's the enemy who's ruling and reigning in that situation. Just like it was with me and my ex-husband, I wasn't allowing God to move, so there was no God in that relationship. It was just the enemy who wanted us constantly like this. Constantly a conflict and dealing with situations and you know, being angry and bitter towards one another all the time. That was the devil's perfect plan, because there was no part of God in that situation that was being allowed to move. When I opened the door for God through me, I didn't talk to my ex-husband about it. I didn't say, listen, we're going to pray before we talk. I probably should have, but we didn't. I just allowed God to use me to voice over every situation as it came. And as I did, you know, scripture would come up and I would relay something. I would say something different than what I would have normally said it. I was allowing God to infiltrate that orderly system. And as a result, it changed that completely. And now it's beautiful and peaceful. And it is much more profitable for both of us in the process. And that's the way he wants us to be in our work situations, in our lives, in every group we have, or every part of, even in our own households. There are people that live, you know, in their marriages that are just constantly disruptive because there's no, you know, we have to make God a part of our marriages. So those are all orderly systems that Satan has his greatest influence in. So Jesus is sending us into those same world spaces so that Satan, it's because Satan, that's where he has his presence. We're to go into those systems. And it may not seem significant exactly that we're in. Oh, I'll get back to that in a minute. So the world or the cosmos is the places that we live, the places where we work, the places where we socialize, where we go to school, where we play sports, where we watch sports, where we have coffee, where we do our hobbies. All those places are the world. And we don't have to go to faraway lands like Romania. We don't have to go to faraway places like China. And we don't have to go to all those other places to impact the world, because we have a whole country right here that is being deceived by the enemy. And so everywhere we turn, there are opportunities to minister the gospel. Now, as we continue to look at this, let's go back into that scripture. It says in verse... where am I wanting to go? These miraculous, verse 17, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They accompany those who believe. That indicates that as believers, when we speak forth the truth, then the miracle signs and wonders are the partner with the word. So those two things are connected. And as a result, our expectation should be that a miraculous sign or wonders or what have you will follow everything that we say that is the word and the truth and the gospel. As we look at this, we have to have an expectation. Think of it this way, and I'm going to actually skip a little bit down. I had a thing I was going to share, but I'm not going to do that right now. God's going to do his part. We have to do our part, which is to preach the gospel. If the gospel's not being preached, then no miraculous signs and wonders are going to materialize, because those two things are partnered together. Those two things accompany each other, and they accompany us as believers. But we have to put it out there. We have to be the one to speak forth the gospel. In verse 20, it says that the Lord worked through them. We need to be ready for God to work through us. It's up to him to confirm his word, but we need to have the expectation. Now, when we look at the word signs, I found this so interesting. The Greek word is like semion. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it means signature or a seal or a stamp. That marks the authenticity of what is being spoken. So the sign itself is the proof that what has been spoken as the gospel is truth, that it's authentic, that it's from God. Because we all know the enemy can produce things, and but his is second best. It is never going to measure up to the miraculous of God. It's always going to be the photocopy, or it's always going to be with a smudge on it. You know, it's always going to be the, what's it called? Fool's gold, counterfeit, fool's gold. It's not the same thing. It might look it from the outside. It might have, you know, similar appearance or whatever of looking like it's of God, but it never is going to measure up. But if they don't see God's proof, then they don't have anything to compare it to. You know, we talked about, pastors mentioned this, and of course I worked for the bank, so I know this. The Secret Service, of course, is the one who determines counterfeit money. They're the ones who control the money. And so they are taught to recognize counterfeit, but they're not taught to recognize by touching and looking at counterfeit. They're taught by looking at only the real thing. They get so familiar with authentic, real money that they immediately recognize counterfeit as not the real thing, right? And so, but right now, all the world has is what the enemy's deceived them to believe. And so he's given all kinds of things. He looks like, he does his best to look like God. And he fails and he fails and he fails. But to the person out there who's never seen the real, the authentic, the true signature that something is from God, that word is proven by God, then they don't have anything to compare it to. All they have is the less than and the not quite and the fool's gold look or the counterfeit. That's all they've ever seen. We have got to be ready and out there preaching the gospel so that God can confirm his word before them so they can see the authentic. And when they do, it's going to be so clear to them. And so that is God's signature The miracles, the signs, and the wonders is God's signature in that moment that his word is truth and that what has been spoken is authentic, the authentic word of God. It's not a forgery. When God says he'll confirm his word with miraculous signs, he is essentially putting his signature on the word that the truth has gone forth. Not to be fooled by the enemy, which everything is a knockoff or a reproduction of the authentic. When God confirms his word, it will, through miraculous means, indicate that he is the creator. He is the author of what has been spoken. And that his signature, that sign is the signature that is the truth. And that's why it's so important for Jesus, through us, to be seen in the world where the devil has his reign. So as I talked about, those worldly orders or those worldly systems that the enemy has been able to rule and reign in, and they've all only seen him in action when we put forth the word and God's signs and miracles and wonders prove his word to be true, now that whole worldly system has been disrupted by the truth. And the devil's ways, people are going to start seeking those things. They're going to start wanting the authentic instead of some cheap version. If you were given a $100 bill that was authentic and a $100 bill that was clearly not authentic, which one are you going to want more of? That seems kind of silly to say. You're going to want a whole lot more of that authentic, and you don't care if you can produce these things a million times faster. This is junk. It's not the same thing. And they start to desire those things that are God's. And so as a result, let's go down and we're going to get into Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, this particular one. A sense of awe was felt by everyone, and many wonders and signs attesting miracles. So this is, Jesus has already ascended. The disciples have gone forth. We read in verse at the end of that section of scripture in Mark, that the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they had said by many miraculous signs. So now the disciples are going forth, and they're preaching. And now these are the results. This is what they're saying happens when they do. In verse 43, a sense of awe was felt by everyone, and many wonders and signs attesting miracles and were taking place through the apostles. In verse 44, and all of those who believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common, considering their possessions to belong to the group as a whole, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing the proceeds with each other, and you know that whole section will keep on going. And day by day they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind and breaking bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts, praising God. Verse 47, praising God continually and having favor with all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Because they had, what started this? Go back in the very first part of that in verse 43, they had many signs and wonders. So many signs and wonders, and we can skip down to verse 47 where it says, and God continually added to them, because every time that this miracle signs and wonders came to be, people were getting saved. More people were coming because they were wanting the authentic. If we go into Acts chapter 5 and verse 12 through 16, I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. It says, through the work of the apostles, many God signs were set up among the people, many wonderful things done. So here we have many God signs, right? So, of course, this is a different translation. It is basically saying signs, wonders, and miracles happened as through the work of the apostles. And then, if we continue, they all met regularly and in remarkable harmony at the temple porch named after Solomon. But even though people admired them a lot, outsiders were wary and about joining them. On the other hand, those who put their trust in the Master were added right and left, both men and women. So again, because of the miracle signs and wonders, people are recognizing they're the authentic, and I want to be a part of that. So many were being added. There were even people carried, they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on stretchers and bedrolls, hoping that they would be touched by Peter's shadow. When they walked by, they came from villages surrounding Jerusalem, throngs of them, bringing the sick and bedeviled, and they were all healed. These are the miraculous signs and wonders that comes with the gospel when we preach it forth. When we say and speak that forth, miracle signs and wonders happen and people want more of it. And so they're drawn into the same places where you congregate to learn more about it. And that's the whole point. That's why, unfortunately, we have a sea of red chairs because we're not doing our part. And I'm not just talking about you all. All of us are not doing, you know, it's so easy for me just to run to Aldi or run to Walmart and just stick my head in front of me and get what I got to get. I hate crowds. And it's not because I'm not an outgoing person. I love crowds for the things that I want, but I don't want a crowd in the aisle where I'm trying to get my bread. I want to get in and get out and move on. I don't like that. It just feels, and I'm not claustrophobic. I don't have any of those things. I don't have anxiety. None of those things bother me. I don't deal with that sort of thing. I just simply don't want to be in the middle of the coffee and bread aisle that's this wide with 42 other people in those big carts that they are filling the grocery orders for. I just don't want to. So I don't pay attention. I don't look around me. I get what I need. I don't make eye contact. It's get in, get out. And so it's just like, that's my mentality. But that's because it's about me. That's not about God. I'm not doing anything to serve the Lord in that way. Yeah, I got my bread, but that's all I did. That's all I accomplished. I got my bananas. I got, you know, all the things. I got all everything that I needed, I wanted. I took it home. I stocked our house. And nobody profited from that but me. We've got to be in a position where we are open to God and His moving in the earth. If we aren't, then He can't move. We are God in the earth. We have to remember who we are. Acts 14, verse 3 in the Message says, "The two apostles were there a long time, speaking freely, openly, and confidently as they presented the clear evidence of God's gift." God corroborating their work with miracles and wonders. Be freely presenting openly and confidently the Word of God and present clear evidence of God's gift, and He will corroborate exactly what you're saying. But was this just for Paul? Was this just for Peter? Was this just for Barnabas? Was this just for the apostles that are all written here in Acts? No. Let's go back up to Mark 16. And verse 17, it says, "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe." It doesn't say they will accompany Paul. Paul wasn't, and Paul, in fact, was Saul at this point. He was, you know, in this part in Mark, he was not someone who was going to be preaching the gospel. This was not just for them. This was for all believers. It is for all believers. It was then, and it is now. These signs follow or accompany those who believe. You are one who believes. The word, and we talked about this, accompany means to actually stay in close proximity with or to tirelessly accompany someone or to constantly be at one side. So every time the word is presented, the signs and wonders goes with it because they're closely partnered together. So, you know, to the degree that they can't be separated. But we have to make room for it. We have to be willing to spread the gospel, and we have to have an expectation that, and you can even tell, you know, something great's going to happen to you today because you heard the Word of God. And, you know, if it doesn't happen right before your eyes, trust God that He's going to continue that work, just like it did for Emily. When I shared that little bit of scripture, it kept with her, and it stayed with her, and it stayed with her until she did what God was wanting her to do. And when she did, she had complete peace. She was actually in joy over paying a stupid parking ticket. That's the difference, and that demonstrates. You know, the devil wasn't going to give joy to her for paying that. He would have made her bitter and angry for having to pay a parking ticket because she was there for 5 minutes. You know, I mean, that was the whole thing, is that she was really angry about the ticket in the first place. And then she ended up and paid it in joy. That's God. To preach without these miraculous signs should seem strange to us. We should be so accustomed to God's work in our lives, and when we speak forth His gospel, that we have nothing but an expectation for that to miraculously produce something. He's always going to, always, 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 always going to prove His word to be true. He's always going to put His signature on every single word that goes forth that is the gospel. And so we have got to have a persistent desire to bring forth the gospel and have an expectation it's going to produce that exact thing. Because He tells us very clearly, it accompanies, it is closely They're so closely connected that while they're still two different things, because the gospel is one thing, and then the signs, miracles, and wonders is another thing, but they're so connected that one produces the other always. You know, we should have the book of Acts should be the longest book in the Bible. And I'm not talking about this particular Bible, because, of course, there was kind of a beginning and an end to this. But the book of Acts should continue through us. The people who are in heaven right now should see our work as Acts, the book of Acts. And it's just a continual chapter after chapter after chapter of how God proved his word through miracles, signs, and wonders. And that as he did, believers, people became believers. And as he did, they were drawn closer to God. And then they began to be the ones who were spreading the gospel themselves and seeing the signs, miracles, and wonders happen. And it just is this cycle that is the good cycle. This is not the worldly order. It's the kingdom of God order. And that is what it's supposed to look like, where we're constantly just presenting the gospel and God is constantly just demonstrating its truth by his miraculous signs and wonders, putting his stamp of approval on it, making it the authentic, and then that person's going to want more of it and they're going to show up here. They're going to fill a red chair. We can't get rid of red chairs. We may have to get different chairs, but they're still going to have to be red because we've talked about it so much. But we need to see them coming in and then discipling them up, bringing them up, just, you know, putting them into that next spot as a disciple to send them forth and do the same thing. And as we do, we just keep multiplying the kingdom of God. And that should be our sole purpose. Yes, we have to make money. Yes, we have to go to work. Yes, we have to deal with family members. But we can do so from a position where God works through us in every single one of those opportunities, and it will change that situation that you're working in. It'll change the situation that you're dealing with people in. It's going to change the situation in your family. All of those things, when you continue to let God just speak through you and those signs and miracles and wonders happen, they're going to have a desire to see more of it. They're going to keep coming back to you, or they're going to keep coming back to where you got it from. And that is where we have to be. We have to let others see Jesus through us. We have to be the Word of God in the earth. If we're not, then there is no Word of God going forth in the world. Or it's some cheap imitation that they've grabbed a hold of, as we know, because they're in the world system. So it's time to go and to proclaim and to let God confirm His Word. Glory. Pastor, do you want to add anything? Well, it's 11 o'clock, so we're going to pray over the donuts. I hope you got something today. I got a lot when I had to do it, study it out. I was like, oh my gosh, I just miss it so much. And it's so weird to me because as he's showing me these things, I see myself in the bread aisle at Walmart. I see myself being that person. I see myself not opening myself up to let God move through me. I see it in me, all over me. And so I know I'm not the only one, but it sure felt like it when I was studying it out. And I'm like, okay. But I know I'm not the only one. I know that we have to be better and we have to be who God created us to be. He created us to be this. And then he comes along and confirms it. Glory to God. He's so good to not let us down that way. He's so good. Glory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together with you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you confirm your word. We thank you, Lord, for the signs, the miracles, and wonders that's going to continue to follow us everywhere we go as we present the gospel, and we will present the gospel. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the donuts, the coffee, the juice downstairs, that you bless it, Lord, that it will not cause sickness in our bodies. We thank you, Lord, that it will not create any issues for our blood sugar levels. We thank you, Lord, for all of those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory.